because I know God. Mm. And I think that's why $1 million, you're broke. I'm like, what?
even Kevin O'Leary is just like, yo, to survive these days, you need like
another thousand.
What? I just got a thousand.
That's a fact, yeah.
Yo, I was wild out.
So, here's the theory about Fresh and Fit.
Mm.
It's that they are marketers.
Mm-hmm.
Men have been unawarely, new word.
Unawaringly.
Unaware.
Like the way I learned about bratopsy. You know, I looked at drum. I looked at bratopsy. I'm like, what is this? Alex made up this word, bratopsy, bro.
Then these I learned unknown terms.
It's a Jamaican lingo term, whatever. It's actually a part of your language.
Wait, like, were you Googling that when you went in there?
I Googled bratopsy. I was like speaking broken English, like since when?
You're just making up shit.
But yeah, go on, bro.
So without a lot of us men knowing,
yeah,
we were in the top of funnel for a course when we're taking in the information from Fresh and Fit, from mediocre tutorials and reviews. And a lot of the manosphere people, a lot of them are selling courses. And the top of funnel information is the women are choosing guys at an exceptional rate. All the intricacies that they were saying was specific things to get you to fall into their funnel because they want to make money off of you. So a lot of guys were listening to it, just thinking, yeah, this is good information. Right. I'm just learning things learning what's going on in society. But it was a pivot because what happened is technology and capitalism was affecting dating at rapid rates, you know? Because of how much access Instagram gets, girls do have more access. That's right. A fact.
Absolutely.
But because of capitalism, people are seeing that they can leverage that fact to make money.
I.e. OnlyFans.
I.e. OnlyFans. I.e. saying that it's embellished so guys will think that if I buy this course, I'll be able to get one of those girls.
Wow.
So
wow.
Most people are like falling into the trap of thinking how that is super over embellished, that they can't get the average girl because she's probably going to be an OnlyFans model or this on IG doing shit. You know what I'm saying? So they're falling into that rabbit hole of information without even realizing that they're just being customers. You know what I'm saying?
You know what they do too? They actually set the spectrum of like what you need to be in order to attain these girls.
Right.
So think about what attainment looks like. It's you got to be at least making 6 figures. And in today's market, that is 160K. Need to be like having a 6-pack and you need to be at least 6 feet. But if you're not that, there's something called looks maxing. Right?
What?
Looks maxing.
What is that?
Looks maxing.
So it's something they're selling these guys. Like if you're not the ideal good looking Chad or Tyrone, you can max everything you have right now to at least put yourself in a position to get these girls. And they know these guys have no shot of even getting there. So the perpetual loop of like, I'm going to sell you something more. Okay, looks maxing. 6-figure earner. 6-pack. So it's like health, like building your finances. And then like, how do I maximize my appearance?
Right. I think what's even worse about this is it's creating a false need.
Yeah.
Right? Food, that's a real need. Water, shelter, real needs.
Yes.
But to have a woman that's going to be only with you for a season, that's a false need. You don't need that.
You don't need that, bro.
But now because it's bubbling up and that desire power that is coming inside of those men that are perpetually watching these things, now you go out and drop a bag on a course. Not only that, now you're doing the one-to-one $10,000 mastermind
coaching.
Right?
So you can be high value.
Yeah, just to teach you how to get 360 waves.
Jerome, are you high value, bro?
100%.
You're high value, right?
Yes.
Okay. 100%. Shout out to KS, man. Kevin Samuels.
But
R.I.P. the Godfather.
Yeah, but it isn't because of, you know, the ways that the world will classify you as high value. It's because I know God. And I think that's why the Fresh and Fit podcast, one of the reasons why it's so misleading is because it's teaching you Like, what do they say? I don't quite understand. It's like red pill, blue pill.
Right. Red pill, blue pill, black pill.
Red pill. Okay, so the real...
Even Alex doesn't know what a black pill is.
I don't either. Yeah. But they say you should be red pill or something. Which one do they say you should be?
You should be red pill.
You should be red pill. Okay. Yeah. So from what I gather from all of that, they tell you you should be red pill, but a true red pill is aware of the spiritual realm and the depths of life, not the superficial side of it, right? So it's actually a snare that these guys are putting people in by saying, oh yeah, to be red pill is to kind of shun women or to have multiple women or whatever they're saying, but that's contrary to the fabric of what holds this world together. So it's very misleading.
And bro, you know, they live in such a bubble that they think that every dude, like they exist in this Miami bubble, like where like there's a lot of attractive women all around, and they think every dude in every corner of the world is trying to get that. But the regular guy, he just wants to get like a good girl, like, you know, have a family. They don't need to be these tens that you're talking about that I need to have, right? They just want to have a normal relationship and find happiness. Like, they're pushing these extreme things that you need to be, but that's excessive.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone has an agenda, you know? Shout out Grant Cardone, but like, you know, he says that if you got like $1 million, you're broke. I'm like, what?
even Kevin O'Leary is just like, yo, to survive these days, you need like $6 million in your bank account.
Oh my God.
Like, what a guy, bro.
Most definitely. But yo, welcome back to another episode of Hustle Over Everything. This is a podcast where we receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. I'm Alex.
I'm Owen Osinde.
And today we have a dope episode for you. You know, you have one of my longest standing friends in the building, yo.
Yes.
Someone from like grade 9 high school.
From the ends, man.
From the ends.
From around the way.
You know what I'm saying? And he has an incredible story that I want to share with you guys, you know, from fitness to the streets to, you know, building your life with God and building your body. You know, you got Jerome Holder in the building. What's good, bro?
Yo. I'm amazing, brother. How are things?
Shut up, my guy.
My guy.
You know what I'm saying? Air dap.
I'm like,
boom.
I got the all black on.
Oh, man. Just good vibes from the get-go.
Let's go.
Yo, all right. So I'll take it back for you, bro. Let's talk about the skinny Jerome. Right now, you're the buff Jerome. Let's talk about the skinny Jerome. You know, what was life like for you in the skinny Jerome phase of your life?
Yo, that's a good question. So it's funny because the skinny Jerome, if that's what we're going to classify me as, at that time, I would say the sky was the limit. I didn't really have much fear, but it was uncontrolled, right? And you know this, right? I was just a wild person. Like, I would do whatever, like pranks, you know, just doing foolishness, right? And even to go from before I met you, to take it back to more like middle school days, as that skinny kid, you know, I unfortunately living in the ghetto dealt with a lot of problems with gangs at a very, very young age, right? So this is around like grade 7, grade 8. I was just involved with people that were, you know, throwing eggs at convenience stores, carrying shanks, you know, shooting up the fireworks, you know, the Roman candles back in the day. So I was getting deep into that. And, you know, I used to live at Dufferin in Eglinton. I know there's probably going to be some people that may watch this that remember those days. But when I grew up there, everyone was like a Crip, right? So I ended up in grade 7 hanging around a lot of guys that were Bloods from an area called Vaughn and Oakwood. So I used to go over there and hang out with those guys. And, you know, like an idiot.
Yo,
like,
and how old are these guys, by the way?
Bro, this is like, we're like 14, 15.
You guys already like classifying yourself as Blood and Crips.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, bro. So I used to go out there, red dicky pants, but I lived at a Crip area. So I'm wearing my red bandana there. Like, who did I think I was, right? Skinny Jerome running around. I remember I did a paper route at those times with like my red flag and my right side coming out. Yeah, and I remember coming back home and this guy who I was friends with, you know, because I, like I said, I used to hang around all the Crip guys in the neighborhood. We used to run around together. We didn't go to the same school, but just from like the buildings and the, you know, houses around. So this guy like takes my bandana, spits in my face, pushes. He's like, yo, why are you know, wearing that red stuff around here? Like, you're crazy. I'm like, dude, I live here. Like, where do you want me to go?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Anyway, just to give you the brevity of it, I got a lot of death threats. You know, people were saying we're gonna kill this dude. Grade 7, grade 8.
These are all grade 8 guys telling you this.
Yes.
Wow.
They were gonna kill this dude, and that was actually when my mom was like, "Yo, enough is enough." And instead of me going to Vaughan Road Academy, which is where I was supposed to go in grade 9, I ended up going to Kingsway College. So that's actually why I ended up going there, you know. And I don't know if you remember, when I first got it, I would say, like, I conformed to the ways of Kingsway within weeks. But initially, I was like, Dickies, don't talk to me. Like,
Did you have the JanSport backpack?
Of course.
Of course. It's like skinny too, you know, like you're barely ever carrying books in there.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I had that for sure. 100%. But yeah, that's pretty much that. And then just Kingsway life, you know, going to worship, not listening.
Well, what's Kingsway, by the way? Like, what's like the Kingsway life?
Kingsway is a boarding school in Oshawa, Ontario. You know, in short, it's a Seventh-day Adventist boarding school, which means a lot too. It's a very important point. And it is focused on, you know, bringing you up in a boarding school environment. So you're kind of like forced to acclimatize to that environment really quickly.
It's like adapt or die.
Adapt or die. Yeah, literally. So it was an interesting time for sure, for sure. Yeah. And I relate to that because I came from Malvern, and my mom was had the exact same mindset, which is that I'm bringing you outside the hood from Malvern and throwing you into Crawford at first, and we actually switched. I went from Crawford to Kingsway, which is another private school, and then you went from Kingsway to Crawford after.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's funny you say that. I think actually that was one thing that I actually related to, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
We were talking about like our hoods and stuff, and like where we were from, and like, oh yeah, you're from that, I'm from this.
And I remembered you invited me and Keegs to your birthday thing.
Oh god.
And we seen all there's like five of these like hood mans from his soccer team that were just posted up, not talking to no one. Not talking to nobody. Yo, who's these mans? Like, what's going on here?
That's a fact, man.
Alex like, this is Bucky, this is Dolly.
So like even back then, you guys used to go by like your alias's name, like
for sure.
There's no
now
Alex.
Now we that's you a know, fact.
I gotta tell you something, Joel. So like, I grew up in a place called Sarnia, Ontario.
Oh my god.
Yeah. By that reaction, I already know. Yeah. I already know what I got, bro. So that kind of growing up, like everyone uses like their first and last name. It's completely normal, right? And It's normal to call someone's first and last name, like, just as a way of life. So when I'm around Alex, like, this, like, when I knew Alex, but then when we started doing the pod, I'm getting to know him. I'm getting to know, like, his upbringing, his life. I say his full name, right? And he'll get super uncomfortable. I'm like, bro, like, it's your name, bro. Why are you acting scared? Like, so you give me the full Govey? And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, right? So then he tells me, like, yo, bro, like, well, the way we do things, like, we just don't even use the full Govey or even the actual name. Even Alex, you're not even allowed to use that.
Yeah, Alex is okay, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I don't have the nickname like that, you know, besides Dubs. and yeah, like, even Isaac's in the back nodding, like, he's like, yeah, full Govey is like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's or like fact. They have initials and you're like, what does that stand for?
It works.
CJ?
You're like, what? You've been what this whole time? You know, like.
You know, so even like for Isaac, when I call him by his first and last name, he's just like, he was actually not even surprised because he went to a school like where everyone used that name. So he's like, yo, Owen's a Sarnia man. So that's normal. So he's expecting that. So, but for you, you're like, nah.
You know, there was, I'm used to it in public, but on a podcast, it's a little bit different. Cause
bro, it's your name of the show,
it's
bro.
It's super public. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what, and I had to like come to grips with it. Cause it's a autopsy thing, you know, like naturally, you know, you don't used to say your full name. It's funny. We brought up Jeremy Rodney. Shout out Jeremy Rodney. I want to see your full name, but, you know, we're out at the Blocko event, shout out Get Fresh, you know, and I'm like, yo, this is my boy Alex. I'm, oh, and this is my, and I introduced him to one of my boys. But yo, this is Jeremy. And he's like, yo, out here, fam. Out here, don't call me Jeremy Rodney. I go by da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? And he's like, listen, that's what rob you. You know, so that's why I think that it's still we still have that brought up scene and still have that mindset, even though we're in our older areas, we're maturing as men. But it's something that we definitely have to discard little by little. I completely agree, man.
Yeah, I'm curious, before we move on, during like the initial parts of starting the podcast, and your name is Alex Woodfield on the show.
Definitely.
Right? How long did it take you to be fully comfortable? Like, was it 4 months, 6 months, a year? I'm curious now because we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, was fine with it being on the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to just have your name being called fully.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Like, because when is this registering? And you register for everything in your full name.
Yeah.
Right? So it's very, really regular. But to have somebody call you by your full name, like, imagine walking through, someone says, Jerome Holder.
That'd be crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what it's like. It's like, whoa. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's kind of where it's like. But after a while, maybe it took like maybe 4 months, probably in the condo days.
Yeah.
I got used to it. So, got it. So one thing you told me, and yeah, actually, shout out to Canadian Income. Was speaking on Canadian Income. Shout out to Muhammad. He's actually been on the podcast too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, for sure. That you made $400,000 doing personal training.
Yes.
Break that down.
So okay, so let's fast forward a little bit. I was at LA Fitness working there. Like, break down just that. You want to just go over that specific year of money?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I had started on my own with my online business. It was just me doing my thing, and I made like $150,000 on my own, no team. I mean, I got like a VA, and I had one sales consultant at this time, at the latter end of that year. This was during COVID, and you know, that was cool, but I ended up getting a mentor named Vince Del Monte. So I know I mentioned Brandon Carter, which was, you know, shout out to Brandon Carter. He was the first guy to actually show me that, yo, you can make money online. But Vince Del Monte really taught me the depths of things and like got me in community and motivated me in a way where I didn't really get in the last mastermind. So at that point, I learned ads and stuff like that. So I remember this is still in the year prior to the 400. This was the 150 year. Yo, I made like 16. By the way, still living in like government housing. I made like 16K. I was at my mom's house. And the next month, when I ran my first ad, I made like $30,000. And this was like with no team. This was November. I had nobody. So all of that was mine at that time, right? And then the VA and then the money on the ad spend. The next month, that's when I moved out into the condo I'm at to this day in Saga. I'm like, okay, I'm done with this hood thing. I'm tired of these pissy staircases. So I moved out there. And then that's when, like, the right people, were on the bandwagon. Like, my VP that I actually worked with at LA Fitness, shout outs to Omar, my guy, he came on board. And he actually, when we worked together at LA Fitness, he remembers me talking about this. He's like, I was like, yo, man, we're going to be out of here. We're going to be online doing sales calls, like, just making money. Like, I'm telling you, bro. Because going back to what I was saying off record, Samantha being my first deal online, or not my first deal, one of them. She was my first PIF, though. She was my first paid in full. And I remember I went on a lunch break while I was at work, and she bought $1,000 program in like an hour's sales call. And I remember coming back to work wilding, bro.
$1,000. That's a fact. Yeah.
You know, I was wilding. I was like, yo, I made $1,000 in an hour. Like, I don't know. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know. I couldn't even sit still. I was like, yo, this is crazy. Right? So, but again, at that time, I still wasn't ready to go all in. Like, you're not thinking, okay, yeah, I made one sale. Like, I can leave. Some people may think that. Some people don't even need that, but for me, I still wasn't at that point. But anyway, to fast forward, Omar, one of my coworkers or my manager at the time, he came on board. And obviously, he was a VP of LA Fitness, of personal training sales. So selling is like nothing for him, right? That he was managing like, I think like 10 or more LA Fitnesses, like managing the sales team. So that's like what he does. So he came on board that January. Man, we cleared like 50,000 that month with him, you know, commanding charge with his sales acumen. I actually had another guy as well who I was working with at another LA Fitness who was crushing it as well. Like he was actually, shout out to Tristan, my guy. He was selling my own program for more than I was. Like I would have sell it for like 1,000. This guy was like 1,600, 3-month program. And he was making sales. Yeah, so that was really awesome to just kind of see like how these guys are really contributing and doing things with a zeal. But yeah, I gave them 25%. So essentially they got their commissions and yeah, we killed it that year. We killed it that year. Just ads, ads to the DM, to the VA, having a conversation, to the application, to the one sub scheduler, to the sales call, to the sale, to the program. And that was it. And I had at that time like 4 trainers on board that were taking care of the clients. So at that point, I was like letting go of the load of me actually training people myself online, right? And that there's another story in and of itself as it relates to that, because there was a point in time in my business where I was like, okay, what do I do? Like, I feel like everybody's doing something. I don't know what I do. What do I do?
Like, you've already set up the systems. You have everything rolling. Like, yeah. What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah. So it was interesting. It was interesting.
So that was the 150 year.
No.
That was the 400K.
No, the 150 year.
It was before that.
Yeah, was before that. And then the January was the next year. When got Omar you. And everyone, like, all hands
got on board.
Yeah,
got you. So now, with that, from what you told me off record, that you actually want to slow down. It wasn't fitting for you. What happened?
Good question. So this is where a lot of business owners trick people, right? And say, yo, my business is generating $1 million or my, and I'm not saying everyone does this, because I also hate that other extreme side of like, yeah, they're just saying they're making $1 million, but they're not making nothing. No, there's a lot of guys that if they're making, they say they're making $1 million, their margins are high, right? But I noticed that my margins were so tight that I started getting to a point where I'm like, when I made my 150, that was like 95% in my pocket. You know what I mean? So no one else was touching it at that time outside of like my mother. You know what I mean? But then when I had a whole team, I'm like paying 25% commissions to my salespeople. I'm paying basically 25% of each deal to my clients. I'm paying for ads, I'm paying VAs, which isn't that much, but still, nevertheless, I'm paying for VAs. So my profit margins were like, man, like you could say 40, 50%. Or sorry, no, 50, 60%. I lied, it's my fault. 30, 20%. So I was making 20, 30% in my pocket, and then everything else was spread out to everybody else. And at the same time, there was a lot of work I had to do, right? I'm doing meetings. I'm doing sales meetings. I'm doing meetings with my trainers. I'm putting out fires. So there were still, I know I said I didn't have anything.
It's to activity do. You're doing.
There's a lot of stupid activity. A lot of stupid activity. So I essentially had to kind of deflate that, that model. And we had discussed off record kind of what I'm moving in towards now.
That's a big gem. That's a big gem, because you feel like you're building up this big business. Then you look around and all the margins going elsewhere besides your pockets and besides pouring back into the business. So it's kind of eating itself. You know what I'm saying? Nah, that's real. That's real. A lot of service-based businesses go through that because the person that is fulfilling the service, fulfilling the deal, isn't you. You know? So that's a big lesson for a lot of entrepreneurs. A lot of big lesson. So now, where do you go from there? You just say, all right, I'm just going to deflate that. And are you in a new system now?
So I'm starting up a new system. I kind of just went back to what I was doing before I put on the team. Because we were talking off the record about how, you know, certain people will say, like, you need to have a 10 out of 10 girl and, you know, creating these false needs. Same idea with entrepreneurs. People say things like, oh, you don't have a business, you have a high paying job. Okay. Like, I don't mind making 40K to go to, you know what I mean, a month working.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Okay. You know? Fair, fair,
so I think that propaganda, that, it just needs, people need to stop saying that. People need to stop.
Yo, entrepreneurship culture is like crazy these days,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
feel
wild.
You.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah. So I don't subscribe to that. I'm like, I need money. So I'm going to go back, you know, lace up my bootstraps and just start doing sales calls, doing sales calls. And I mentioned that to you over the phone, that I've been making money through just doing that, going back to what I already knew. Funny enough, though, Omar and I, we spoke the other day. So we're thinking, so what I'm thinking to do, because he has a sales agency now, like he's actually doing his thing, and he has people in place, like closers that are ready to like come into businesses and just start crushing it, right? So I got to actually call him tomorrow, but I'm thinking to basically try to figure a way out to get him to use his agency to still hold on to the business, but I'm going to kind of like exit it, so to speak. So even if it's like 10, 20% margins, but I'm not doing anything and I'm building the new business, cool, right? Because obviously this business is already proven, like money can be generated at any time, right? But in essence now, are we pivoting? Are we going that direction with things? Okay, so yeah, now, because everything over the years has been like one-to-one sales. So the whole arduous, like, okay, let me ask you a question, Owen. So let's say you were at Good Life Fitness and you were able to sell a membership to 50 people at one time. How much commissions would you be getting?
I would like, so BAM was, let's say, 30 memberships a month. Right, that's, you're making like maybe an extra $3K.
Jeez,
you know what I'm saying? On top of like your hourly rate, in one day, bro, to surpass BAM and like get 50, and then I have the whole month to make more sales. You asking how would I feel?
Well, for the audience, what's BAM?
Bare ass minimum.
Bare ass minimum.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Or you're fired, basically.
If you don't hit BAM, you're fired. Especially so in Good Life, there's like a BAM 1, BAM 2, BAM 3. BAM 4 and a BAM 5. BAM 5 are like the big clubs. So a BAM 5 example would be when Young and Dundas had a Good Life Fitness downstairs, right? And then BAM 4 is like Richmond Bathurst, Papin Danforth. I think that was like a BAM 4 as well too. But on the average, a lot of them are like BAM 4. So
as in like the minimums that you have to hit.
Every salesperson, if you're working more than like 30, 40 hours a week, that is like what your target is. And you have to hit that. If you don't hit that over a couple months, you're sacked. Yeah. So, bro, I'd be ecstatic. I'd feel like I hit the lotto, especially at that time, because I'm in university.
Right.
So that that'd be like at least 4,500 for me.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say at the month end, you're looking at 7K.
You're laughing.
100%. Bro, that's like tuition.
Yeah, straight up.
Straight up, bro.
No OSAP.
No OSAP, pretty much.
That's live. So you see, that's basically what I'm moving more towards now.
Right now.
Instead of doing that whole one-to-one, there's a book I recommend anybody listening. It's called One to Many by Jason Flagellin. Check that book out. Like, read that book. Digest that book. Like, eat it. You know, eat that book. Because
One to Many.
One to Many.
One
okay.
to Many.
I'm going to get that on my Kindle tonight.
Yeah, it's super dope book because, first of all, just to even go over his story, like, this dude was just some random painter making like minimum wage, and now he's like the king of webinars, done over $500 million in webinar sales. And what he essentially teaches is, forget about the one-to-one thing, get people in a webinar, right? Because it's like a, you know, it's like a seminar on the web. So instead of the whole arduous, okay, 1 hour sales call, you're giving energy, well, what are your fitness goals right now? And I listen, don't get me wrong, because I don't want to seem like I hate what I do or what I did. I love it. Right, I love consultations. I love, you know, being able to pull out the whys, why people want to accomplish things, and the pain points, and not in a manipulative way, but in a way where it's like, yo, like now you realize why you need to do this. Yes, okay, great. Like let's start this program. But I love doing all that. But to be able to, instead of like getting that dopamine hit from one sale, and then you're like marinating it, and then you go to the next.
Bruh, oh man, I feel that too, because even for like our agency, like you close a deal that like the average close times maybe like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But when you're prospecting them and like getting them to like know you, understand what you have to offer, feel comfortable paying you, believe you can execute it, that's like a month, right? So when you do the math, you're like, okay, we need this many calls and we need to like nurture them for this long for them to close. Oh, wow. So we're exploring like many different sales options and like how to book meetings, how do we get more leads, how do we get more qualified leads. And that's what I wanted to ask you. Like you said you had closers. How are you compensating these guys to close your deals and where did you get them?
Oh man, so this is why I'm saying let's talk about that. I was hoping I would get to, you know, give God some glory here. God literally built my whole team. He literally built my whole team. And
so they just came into your life?
Brother, they just came. Like, okay, let's go to the VA before we even talk about the closers. I posted an ad on a website. It's called, I think it's called Online PH. If it says 404 website not found, I'm sorry. But
those days are long gone.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it's called online.ph. It's like a international VA website, right? So I posted an ad, I posted a listing or whatever it's called, like an ad, right? Looking for a virtual assistant, telling them the job description. Bro, I got like hundreds of applicants, okay? Like it was so much to sift through. I'm like, I'm out here making money. There's people in my DMs that want training. I ain't got time to sift through all of these applications. But bro, you can't make this up. It was about 6 a.m. actually on I don't remember the day, but it was some morning during the week. And I look at my Instagram and I see a DM by this guy named Jason. And he's like, hey, are you the drone holder that posted the ad about the VA? By the way, he's the only one that's done this. I had that thing up. No one went out of their way to DM me on Instagram. They just went through the motions of the website. This guy DM'd me or whatever. We did an interview right on the spot. I'm still like rubbing Yampi out my eyes. Like, it's that early. And he's in the Philippines, so it's pretty late for them. Later on, at least. So we did a call. He was dope. Told me all his experience. Said he actually worked with another online PT before. Didn't really work out. He just experienced with everything you could think of. So I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So hired him on the spot. He still actually works with me to this day, still has my back. He's done like every video that I put up there. He's the one that edits it, puts all this stuff. So he's still with me today, but 100% that was God. Cause that was no effort. And then all the salespeople, to get back to that, were people I worked with. So I actually worked with all of these guys when I worked at LA Fitness. So there were people that had sales experience. They weren't just like your random duds. Like they were
hungry,
like
dog.
Yeah, and they were the managers. Yeah. Like they were guys that already rose above the ranks into promotion. And to get promoted, you got to be putting up at least 50,000 in consecutive months to become a manager in sales. So these are guys that knew what they were doing. Omar, like I said, he was VP managing multiple clubs. My boy Tristan, he was a manager managing a very populated club, lots of money coming in, did his thing there. And then I had another guy who's actually a real estate agent now doing Tony. Same guy that I
same
mentioned.
Tony.
Same Tony.
Wow.
Same, yo, you're up now, Tony.
same
Tony. Yeah. So he was on board crushing it for a season. I had a few other guys that Omar brought in as well. Few other gentlemen. There was people and I'll be honest with you, like obviously a big part of it too was COVID, you know, because that was in the thick of COVID. There was a lot of uncertainty and people saw like, yo, Jerome's laughing. Like, you know when SpongeBob and Patrick always be la 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 and Squid was just cheese? No, that's kind of, you know, like what I was, you know, dealing with at the time. I was not being affected negatively by COVID. People saw that, they wanted to jump.
It is an opportunity for you.
Yeah.
So these guys are like at home, locked down. I'm passionate about fitness. I can go to the gym. Jerome has this thing going on. I'm getting behind this because I know I can sell and I can make money quick.
Right.
Bro, it's just like the perfect trifecta of everything just coming all to once. Bro, that's why, okay, I do agree with you. That was all God.
Yeah.
That was all God. There was no strategy, no nothing. Perfect place, perfect timing, perfect execution,
yeah,
bro.
Perfect.
Awesome, man. So let's work towards wrapping up, and we want to talk about your relationship with God, man. When did that become real? Because not only is it a part of your life, it's also part of your brand. You know, you have like the Cross and Drumholder Fitness. You also have In the Glory Podcast. And a shout out to your podcast. You know, when did that become a major figure in your life?
Good question. So when I was working at LA Fitness, the first go round, because I worked at multiple, I worked at about three LA Fitnesses. But the first one I was at, this was at Dixie in Eglinton. So this is part of that transitioning out of the drug dealing life. I'm like trying to find my own. Like I was actually taking bus all the way from Dufferin and Eglinton in Toronto to Dixie and Eglinton in Saga. So it was like going to the wild, wild.
That's a trip, man.
Whole trip, bro.
Yeah.
I was hungry. I remember I'd only listen to audiobooks on the way. Like I was just like, yo, a lot of tears in that season, but you know, we made it out. But when I was there and I was, I remember the first 2 months there, I was kind of like, yo, maybe this isn't for me, man. Like, I'm struggling to sell. I remember I came to work in, like, a Crooks and Castles hoodie. Like, I had no, like, I was so used to the it's funny because we don't realize how, like, being in society is actually a big deal. We think it's not, but if you see the underworld, like, there's a world in which there are people you will never see. But they're functioning in their own world. And I was a part of that world. So coming out of that and being in like the corporate world again was weird. Like I'm wearing a friggin' Crooks and Castles hoodie to work. You know what I mean? While people are wearing like their Louis V belts and like looking fresh with their cologne. I had no understanding of that. Whatever. So I remember like crying one night. I'm like, man, I'm not gonna make it. Like, this is crazy. I'm going to quit. I was at the bus stop just bawling. And I was actually dating a girl from Ryerson at that time. And my ex is from Ryerson, the first one that kind of pulled me to where I'm at now. And she lived on, you know, the dorms by Metro?
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
So I used to be out there. We'll talk more about that.
Pittman Hall, bro.
Pittman Hall,
dog. Yeah.
The wristband.
I was Ryerson too, so.
Yeah.
What floor, bro?
I can't remember off the top.
We'll chop it up after.
But yeah, so anyways, I was kind of like, oh man, like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. And I felt like there was like this dark cloud over me from like the dope boy life, the weed smoke, all of that. Like, I feel like there was like just tension in my body, anxiety and just fear and just stress. I just felt like there was some, you know, all those like woo-woo new agers will talk about like, what is it like your energy is unbalanced or you need to do energy work, like whatever. Like I was just dealing with my chakras.
Your chakras weren't aligned.
They weren't aligned, right? Yeah. So I felt like something was off. And essentially what ended up happening was I'm like, yo, I need to figure something out because I don't feel, something feels wrong, right? So I ended up doing research. This is actually how I got to learn a lot about like supplements. So I started learning about like how to deal with it. You know, when you got a real issue in your life, you start Googling things, man. We all know. We all been there. I don't care who you are, man. You probably got a Google tab open right now somewhere, whether it's on Safari or on your laptop.
You probably have like 80. The average.
So I was Googling all types of things, trying to get answers to all of my questions. And it ended up leading me to this Kundalini.
Oh, the Kundalini, bro.
Kundalini snake.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I started learning about all that.
What the hell is a Kundalini snake?
So essentially, when you look at your spine, it's actually a reflection of, like, Earth, in a sense. And, like, your inner chakras, like your throat, root,
crown,
everything, is, like, because you're made in the image of God, right? And internally, like, everything in you is essentially, like, in Earth's image. So top of the head that is heaven, below the heel that's hell. I don't want to miss, but maybe chime in here, Jerome. Like, am I saying the right thing with the Kundalini? So the energy that goes within from top to bottom, it's kind of like a snake, which is a reflection of the Adam and Eve serpent, like the snake. So it goes around you and everything, and pretty much it. So to really operate at your highest state, you need to raise your frequency below the carnal mind, which is like the only thinking about sex all the time.
Yeah, that's the root.
The root, exactly. And rise it above to where you're in a high vibration, which is like the bliss state, which is like the heavenly state. When you're at that state, bro, everything opens up to you. Like your third eye opens.
Yeah.
You can, your pineal gland. Yeah. You can see things. You actually can hear people's thoughts. You can think things, and people will come to you and echo this. It's so weird, bro. And that's the thing. The pineal gland is so powerful because they're trying to calcify the pineal gland, like by the foods you eat, the things you drink, the stuff you watch, the things that go in your ears and ruins your vibration. So yeah, bro, the body is such a wonderful piece of machinery. Even the brain, bro, like the Kundalini, man, like once you tap into this, bro, you realize how, like, when you guard your mind and like your energy, bro, you can legit transform like anything.
It's true. Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about that, because the story definitely didn't end with Kundalini. Just to preface, that was just like the beginning of my spiritual journey, because it's more like Hinduism, right? That's where the origin of it is Hindu. But yeah, like I was reading up, okay, like you gotta take. And by the way, just to go back to, you know, originally you mentioning like how did I come back to God. So I grew up Seventh-day Adventist, right, as you did as well. And I realized when I was at that point of like feeling like literally like depressed, but not really understanding why, because I felt like, yo, I'm in a better place than I was before, but I felt depressed. And I didn't think to go to God, like in the sense of like going to church, because those people at church seemed as defeated and depressed as anybody else. So it was like, I knew I needed power, but I was like, okay, go back to the SDA church and be still depressed, but now I gotta go to church every Saturday and all that, or go to this new thing that seems very enticing. So I go to the new thing. So it was all about like purifying yourself, like, you know, taking like chlorophyll. And I learned a lot about chlorophyll about that, which through that journey, different supplements like choline, potassium, you know, man, I could go on, just different things, the hormones in the body, the stress hormones, the cortisol. Like I remember in this Kundalini book, it brought up Jesus and explained the science behind when he was sweating blood in the garden, and how it's so, like it was a whole medical name, and how in order to prevent this, you must take this and that and all these herbs. I was like, oh, this is crazy. But I ended up really tapping into that. Like I stopped watching porn, for example, stopped masturbating, stopped having sex. And I'm like, I'm tapping into this. I want to see what this is about. And I'm, bro, whoo, you can't make this up. I remember after like, man, like 7 days of doing this, practicing, doing the meditation, the transcendental meditation. Yo, I put up $51,000 in sales at LA. 1 month. The next month, I put up another 40,000, and I became the manager of that club. This was all within 5 months of being in that gym, and that is no easy feat. There have been
people. I am not surprised. You're not surprised. I'm not surprised, bro. I'm not surprised. Yeah, go on, bro.
Yeah, this guy's like, yeah, it ain't a thing. But yeah, like it happened quick, and in my mind, I'm like, yo, this is what I do. But there have been guys that have been with that company for like years, like a decade, 6 years, 5 years, that never touched management roles, you know, never got to assistant personal training director, never got to personal director. And I'm here just like all of a sudden managing this club. Like my manager at the time to even get me in position, so there's a lot of things that worked in my favor as well. But he ended up watching over another club of a guy who was getting promoted to another club. So he's like, yo, do your thing. So my manager literally would just be sitting back doing his thing while I'm working all the time. I'm just making sales, but I got this energy though, this Kundalini energy. I'm doing like 5, 6, 7 consultations a day without breaking a sweat. I'm looking people in the eyes with this like sharp, it was crazy.
Just the flow, bro.
The flow.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So in essence, I'm like, yo, I believe in this. And I remember even going to my mom, who's a Christian, because I could feel like these tingles in my body. Like I felt like if I touched somebody, they would be healed. Like that's how much energy was flowing through me. I told my mom, I was like, yo, is this how you feel like as a Christian? And she's like, yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. But she didn't understand really what I was doing spiritually. So it was no Holy Spirit. It was demonic, and I'm gonna elaborate on that. But yeah, so I ended up, you know, wavering in and out of this practice because it comes with a lot of discipline, of course, right? But I knew that it was real because every time I would slip in some way, whether that was sexually, like you said, your thoughts, letting things in your mind.
The carnal mind,
the
bro.
The carnal mind. Fuck, man. Things would go wrong. It would almost seem like you know that this is a spiritual thing because problems that would arise, it's like, how is this even possible? Like, imagine, like, this isn't a real situation, but problems like you pumping your tire, it's perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden somebody shoots a gun at your tire. And it's like those type of weird, you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So I knew there was something to this spiritual world at this point. There's some things I'll share like off the record as it pertains to this. I don't want to say too much of the details, but I knew there was something real. I knew this was real. And funny enough, now as a Christian, there's actually a verse in the Bible that says it is better to have known, or it's better to have not known the ways of righteousness than to know the ways and fall back into the old. And even though, here's the funny thing about the Hinduism and the Kundalini, and it's the reason why a lot of Christians will not, or it's relevant to why I think a lot of Christians are not going to ever walk in power, is because the Kundalini Hinduism is more practical. And a lot of Christians think that God is a far off God that is just going to, you just pray and things are going to just happen. But God is also a practical God. God has laws. And the reason why there's power even within the an evil realm is because spiritual laws are spiritual law. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Gravity affects a sinner and a saint. You jump off a building as a sinner, you're dead. You jump off the building as a saint, God, please, you're dead. It doesn't matter. Right? So the laws that God has built into the fabrics of life are fixed. Doesn't matter. They're fixed and they will yield results. A seed, you plant a seed, it doesn't matter who plants the seed. God has a law that is in operation 24/7, 365. Right? And you either abide by it or we don't. And if we do, we get the results. If we don't, we don't. So when I read that scripture, it reminded me of all the times I would like be doing the Kundalini spiritual stuff, celibacy, meditation, and I would see the great things happen, and then when I would fall off and see all the destruction, and it's like, yeah, things get worse when you go back. It's better you didn't know all of this. It's either you stay here or you don't, right? But if you don't, just know you're gonna be worse off. So it's kind of like this electric fence,
bro. I know exactly what you're talking about, man. Even like when you abstain from like sex, masturbation, there's one time like it felt like everything was just coming to me.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Pause, bro. You're welcome to that one. You go through that practice of like Kundalini. I didn't go to same extent as you, but it felt like as if I can attain anything. I can bring anything in life.
Yeah.
One time I was trying to move out of the basement apartment I was trying to get a condo. I was still in Sarnia during COVID, no job, no nothing. I'm like, okay, I need to get out of that place. Boom. The job that I was at just magically calls me. I'm like, yo, tell my landlord. I'm like, okay, yo, can you give me my $500 back? She's like, okay, if you get a tenant here by the end of the month, I'll give you your money back. I'm like, how the hell am I going to do that? Some way, somehow, some guy comes and takes over my room.
No
way. And Doug, take this in. This guy, he was like a younger first year version of Owen.
Wow.
Kenyan guy.
Oh, you're from Kenya?
I'm from Kenya, right? Okay, no. He's Kenyan. He's 14. He's a student at Ryerson. I was like, this is like the younger version of me coming in here to take over.
Wow.
And bro, every single thing that I wanted, boom, boom. I need to talk to this person. They call me. I need to text this person. They text me. It was just operating as if like this deity, bro. I was out of this world, bro.
Yeah.
That was when I stopped. Like, of course, my same thing with porn. Like, get rid of that sexual shit. Not having sex, nothing like that. Just straight celibate. Honing in that energy, bro. Things were just magically coming to my life. And then you go back to the same habits.
Yeah.
Your whole frequency is thrown off.
It unravels.
It unravels, bro. you hit a toe and you're on the corner. You're late for an appointment. Someone stops you on road.
Bro, I remember
like you spill hot coffee on you. Like the whole thing just
unraveled.
Ow. Sorry, bro.
I remember I slipped, took a little peek of pornography. One time I was coming back to the gym. I had a whole six pack of Zevia. It's like a sugar-free soda. Yeah, pro tip. That's a good alternative to like Orange Crush and things like that, Pepsi and whatnot. I had a whole six pack of the soda, bro. I literally, and I'm not clumsy like this. I literally dropped the whole six pack as soon as I got into the gym, and everything just spilled all over me, the ground. I'm like floored, and because you know I just did you know my unrighteous activity. I'm like, what's good? Like, I'm out of it. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And now you're like, that's almost like the point of like, okay, now I got to build back up again.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could relate.
100%, right? It takes like at least 3 weeks.
Yeah.
To hit that stride again, man.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah. It's a process, bro.
It's a process, man.
Bro, I feel like there's another part too. Like, you know what I'm saying? We need to dig deep.
Yeah. This is a great conversation, man. So as Rook was wrapping up, man, I want to ask you two questions, with short answers.
Thank you for disclosing that.
for under a minute, for somebody that is an entrepreneur trying to make sales happen, you've had a ton of experience in sales. What tip can you give them to improve their sales skills? And secondly, for the entrepreneur that's struggling with their faith, what tip can you give them as they struggle with their faith?
Okay, so we start with the sales.
Sales and then faith, yeah.
So building rapport, I would say that is more important than the why. Because people are going to buy from a friend. Anyone who does network marketing knows that the first 10 people you sell are your friends and family because they know you. And the quickest way to make someone a friend or family within an hour sales call or sales meeting is to find that common ground. Oh, you're from Kenya? Oh, shoot, I'm from Kenya too. Oh, I like Jordans too. Oh, you like dogs? So finding common ground and then finding out more about their side of that common ground, right? And I know that might not be like the popular answer you want to hear. Oh, the why and the, oh, you got to, but that is literally what has helped me. If I was going to put percentages on the deals that I've closed where the rapport from the jump was high, I would say it's like 9 out of 10. I know it. And if they don't buy, it's because they genuinely can't afford. Like if their card would decline, that's the only way they wouldn't buy. And it's because it builds trust. Building trust is the key.
That's big, big gems.
Absolutely, bro. That rapport, if you don't have it, kiss that sale goodbye. Even though they're a good prospect, you're like, fuck. I've had those, man. I've had those.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And now for faith.
For faith. So, man, you need faith in entrepreneurship because the reality of it is this life is temporary. And I think realizing that this life is temporary, being conscious of that, right? Whatever you're conscious of, it's magnified in your world. So I would say focus on something beyond. Really ask yourself those tough questions like, what happens after I die? What happened to my parents when they die? Like, what happens after this life is over? Ask yourself those questions and start looking for those answers. You know, whether that's going to a spiritual leader, or just frig, we got YouTube, we got Google. You could probably even chat GPT and find some sort of an answer. You know what I mean? But the Bible tells us, seek and you will find. So if you feel lost in your faith, search and you will find.
That's big.
Press towards the goal, bro.
The heavenly prize.
Exactly. Philippians 4, man.
Amen.
Of course, bro.
Whole sermon out here.
I lie.
With that being said, that wraps up the podcast. Also, what you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
And I'm Owen Osinde.
Jerome.
That's the show, y'all. Peace.
Peace out.